Hebrews chapter number 11. We've been in this chapter for a little while. Actually, a little bit longer than I anticipated, but that's all right. It's good. It's a great chapter of the Bible. Of course, we've been studying the book of Hebrews now since, I forget when we started, but anyway, it's been a long time. The book of Hebrews, great book of the Bible. The writer to the Hebrew Christians, trying to get them to understand the new way, the new covenant. There's a better covenant. Those who were threatening to go back into the old way and they threatened to go back into Judaism, and he's trying to tell them of this better covenant of Christ. Christ has come to pave the way. And right here in chapter number 11, he gives them all these examples. All the examples of great heroes of faith who have stood the test when they were here. They stood the test. And by the way, you find this word many times in Hebrews, by faith. That's how they stood the test. They stood it by faith. They didn't have anything else to stand on but their faith in God. And by the way, it's the same thing you and I stand on today. We've got something they didn't have. We have the Word of God. The Word of God tells you and I what's going to happen, does it not? Now, they didn't have this. So when they stepped out on faith, they stepped out on faith. We've talked about a great many of it, and we've worked our way up to verse 31. We left off last week, if you remember, talking about Joshua and that walls and the walls of Jericho. How he trusted God. And he went and did, and here's the secret, obedience. He did what God told him to do. He didn't question it. He didn't doubt it. Now, you know, that bunch of people had with him probably murmured, no doubt. I think of Moses, and boy, the murmuring he had to hear, listen to. But yet he trusted God. Amen. Now you think about that. And Noah and all those great men. Well, we're in verse 31, and we're going to meet a lady here who finds her way into the faith chapter. Not only that, not only does she find her way into the faith chapter, but she'll find her way into the lineage of Christ. Her name's Rahab. Verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, I want to share some things with you concerning Rahab. Now, within the city of Jericho, and we talked about Jericho last week and how it was sealed up because of the children of Israel and the mighty wall that surrounded Jericho. Within the city of Jericho, there was a harlot that God will manifest himself in by faith. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. He will manifest himself within her by faith. Now, and I know many questions have been asked about this harlot, probably. And probably one of them is, why would God use a harlot to accomplish his will? Well, why would God use any of us? I mean, you could say that about the harlot, but I could say, why does God use me? Amen. We're all sinners, saved by grace. Amen. You see, God can use anybody. And let me tell you what it is. It's God's mercy and grace. Now, this harlot will come to realize who the true God is. I think it'd do us well to go in Joshua chapter 2 tonight. Turn over with me to Joshua chapter 2. I think it'd do us well to put ourselves there for a few minutes and read Joshua chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse number 9. I want you to pay attention to some things here. I've underlined some words here that you would do well to do so yourself. Because we see the faith of Rahab here in Joshua chapter number 2. But we could study the whole chapter, but we're not. We're going to start in verse number 9. And she said unto the men. Now, I underlined this word right here. I know. You see what's happened here to this harlot? I know. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, I underline that, that's what this harlot is saying, for the Lord your God, he is, I underline that little word is. She didn't say he might be. What'd she say? He is. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shewed you kindness, that you will also shew kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. You see, what you see here, I think that after this encounter with these men there in Jericho, this harlot had an encounter with God and the men of God. This woman wouldn't return to her sinful ways anymore. She had an encounter with God. Amen. You saw it there. I know he is. You see. She had an encounter with God. She became a great instrument of faith. Otherwise, she wouldn't be here. Amen. When she realized who the Lord was, she then acted in faith. You see, you know what makes you and I act in faith? We know who the Lord is. We come to know who God is. We come to trust God, and we act in faith. Now, you'll find James, over in the book of James, chapter number 2 and verse 25. Here's what James says. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. You see, faith brings us to works. Amen. We're not saved by works, but when we get saved, we'll get to work. Amen. You see, because faith without works is dead. That's what the Bible tells us, isn't it? And so it's important. Her faith led to great works. And as I told you, you find her in a line, in the direct lineage of Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Now, Rahab was the mother of Boaz. And of course, you know, Boaz married who? Ruth. And Ruth and Boaz had who? Obed, who had Jesse, who had David. There you go. Amen. Right in the line of Christ. She's a harlot. Aren't you glad God and you sinners? Well, I'm glad he does. I'd be in trouble if he didn't. Amen. You see, what we see here in Rahab is God's grace and mercy, which brought this woman to faith, which brought this woman to good works. You see, and we find her in what we like to call the Great Faith chapter. Now, let's go on. Verse 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Now, the writer now will mention six great men of faith to continue what he's discussing. Now, he makes it clear here, if you notice, that he cannot mention all there is to mention. Because if he did, he'd just run out of time. He couldn't mention all the great faith or elaborate much on all the great faith found in the Old Testament. He mentions here by name. And then in verse 33 through 40, he'll elaborate on some of what they've done. But I want to look at these, and I'm going to make it briefly. Briefly, we could say a whole lot about each one of these that's mentioned here. We could spend a lot of time on each one of these that's mentioned here. But I just want to look at them briefly. What you got to understand, these are ordinary men who had great faith in God. And first of all, we find mentioned in this verse, Gideon. Now, when you think of Gideon, where do you first find Gideon? He's threshing wheat. Where is he threshing it at? On a mountaintop? He's hid. Down by the wine press, where there is no wind, where you don't normally thresh wheat. Why? He's hiding, isn't he? You see, Gideon, what do we know about Gideon? Of course, God called him, and God called him out, and we remember Gideon showed great faith in that he took 300 men and won the battle against 135,000. You remember? Now, he didn't start out with 300. Started out, what was it, 22,000, wasn't it? Something like that. And it got narrowed down to 10,000. You remember? And God said, that's too many. Take him down there and let him get a drink of water. And down there, and he ended up with 300 men. Remember? And he surrounded that camp. And they won the battle. Gideon didn't start out in great faith. You remember, Gideon had to have a sign. Remember? Of course, when you first find him, he's hid. And God calls him, and of course, I'm not that man. But you remember what he asked God? God to give him a sign. And remember what he did? He throwed that piece of fleece up. Remember? And he throwed that piece of fleece out there on the ground. And he said, let there be dew on the fleece and none on the ground. And what happened? The next morning, he wrung out a bowl full of water. There was no moisture on the ground, but it's all over that fleece. But that didn't satisfy him. He still was just like us. Now listen, you know, we read these stories. We read of these people. And by the way, these are my fairy tales. I got so aggravated talking to a man. He said, well, I love those fairy tales in the Bible. I said, hold it a minute. Hold it. I said, what are you talking about, fairy tales? I said, buddy, they're just as real as you are. But, you know, I think sometimes we tend to read the Bible as a fairy tale. He said, Lord, I don't know. I'm going to toss this baby out there again. This time, let it be dry and the ground wet. Guess what? You know, you have to say, how much does it take, buddy? God's on your side. Amen. Sometimes I wonder that about Christians today. Haven't you ever figured out God's on your side yet? Amen. But he didn't start out in great faith, but he ended up in great faith, you see. And he won those battles. You could go on and read many things about Gideon, but we're going to go on. He mentions here Barak. Now, of course, Barak, and of course, who was the judge at the time of Barak? Do you remember? It was a woman, Deborah. You see, Deborah was the judge of Israel. And they went out against Sisera, if you remember, the captain of Jabin's army. By the way, he had troubled Israel for over 20 years. This Jabin had. I think we might do well to go and read. Let's go to Judges chapter 4. they had troubled Israel for 20 years. In Judges chapter 4, let's read a few of these verses here. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Haresheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, and his chariots, and his multitude, and will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent under the plain of Zananim, which is by Kadesh. And they shewed Sisera that Barak the son of Abinoam was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted off his chariot and fled away on his feet. And Barak pursued after the chariots and after the hosts unto Haresheth of the Gentiles, and all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. Let's read just a little further. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here, that thou shalt say no? Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. Now, Barak, that's who he's talking about here. Barak, you say, well, what kind of faith did he have? Well, he had faith. Amen. He had faith. He trusted in God to go and do what the will of God was. Now, he wanted Deborah to go with him. He may have had great faith in Deborah as well. But nonetheless, he had faith in God to go and accomplish the will of God. And of course, she told him, said, this Sisera will, the honor will fall into the hands of a woman. And you've seen her there. She nailed him to the floor. Amen. And so he makes it into this great hall of faith. Now, next, you find a man by the name of Samson. What was Samson known for? His strength. Samson was known for his strength, but that's not all he is known for. I mean, his strength is number one, but he was known for his immaturity. He was very immature. He was very self-willed, self-confident, and he was foolish. Yet he showed great faith in the capability of God to use his strength to defeat the enemy. You recall when he lost his strength, and he was a Nazarite, if you remember. And as long as he didn't do what, he would keep his strength, cut his hair. He was a strong man. He killed the lion, you remember? He took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 of them, remember? He took the gate of the city, post and all, remember? Carried it through town. He was a brute man. He was strong and great capabilities, but he was foolish. He made foolish choices and foolish mistakes, and it cost him his strength. You know, you remember when he encountered. Now, you all, you do well to go back in your Bible and read Judges 13 through 16. That's where you find all this. We'd do it tonight, but that's not what we're here for. We can study Judges another time, but you remember what his demand was. Now, he was sort of a demanding fellow too. Samson was. He told his father, when he saw Delilah, remember what he told him? You go get her for me. I want that woman. And you make sure I get her. Well, he did. Well, she got him. And in the process of time, she tried to get him to reveal his strength to her. And, you know, he told her two or three things that didn't work. But finally, he gave in. And you know the story. They catch him. And what did they do to him? They poke his eyes out and blind him. Yeah. Yeah. Tortured him. Took his eyes out. But he asked God for one more boost of strength. You remember? And he took the pillars of the house and God gave it to him. You see, he lost his strength and he lost it because of foolishness. But his faith in God, he had faith in God. If he would give it back to him, he would use it to defeat the enemy. And God did just that. And he died as well in that. And so Samson, we find him mentioned here briefly. No. No, he didn't. No. Yep. Sure did. Now you find Jephthah. In Judges 11 and 12, you'll find the story of Jephthah. I do want to maybe touch on just a couple things here, because you probably don't know much about Jephthah. You'll learn in Judges that Jephthah was an outcast. You know why? He was a son of a harlot, and they wouldn't have anything to do with him. But by the way, he became one of the judges in Israel. And he became one of the judges of Israel. But he made an awful mistake. And that's what I want to read to you. I want us to go to Judges chapter 11. And in Judges chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 29. And I want to read down through the end of the chapter. Now, you start in verse 11. You give her Jephthah is called. And you learn here in verse the first three verses that he was the son of a harlot, son of a strange woman, calls him here. And then you'll start in verse 12. You'll see where he judges Israel. Verse 29, Jephthah makes a vow unto the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah to Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aurora even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and to the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains, and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go, and he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions, and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. And she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days a year. Now, he made a vow unto the Lord. His daughter became a living sacrifice. Jephthah's daughter would have bewailed her coming death, not her virginity, if she was to be sacrificed. Now, she didn't end up being a sacrifice. She ended up sacrificing herself. Did you catch that? Because she bewailed her virginity. She would not bear children, which back in those days, for a woman, was a disgrace. Rather, she bewailed the fact that she would have to live her whole life without husband and without children, merely performing service to the Lord, presumably in some mental capacity, maybe at the tabernacle or wherever. Yet she was willing to do this because of her father's vow and her gratitude to the Lord for his deliverance of her people, from the Amorites. She became what the New Testament calls a living sacrifice. You see, because of the vow that her father had made, and because of God answering that vow. Right. Yeah. That's it. You see. Yeah. Amen. And so you see what is so fascinating about this faith chapter is the people God uses. Amen. To do mighty things. Just common people. You find mentioned next, and we could say a whole lot about this fellow. His name is David. David showed great faith in God, didn't he? Matter of fact, the Bible called him a man after God's own heart. He killed a lion, a bear. He fought the Philistine giant by the name of Goliath. He never gave up or wavered. When he was on the run from Saul, he would spend a lot of time on the run from Saul. And even in his sinful state, God still saw him as a man after his own heart. You know, David fell into sin. You know the story. He went up on the rooftop. You know why he was going up on the rooftop? He wasn't going up there to see the view. He was going up there to pray. That's where they went to pray. That's where they went to meditate. And, of course, I was telling him this morning Of course, the devil knows where he was at. Don't ever think the devil don't know where you're at. And we was talking about our meditation time this morning. And I hope you have a private time that you spend alone with God. Every day you should have a time. It ought to be a set time. There should be nothing interrupt that set time you have with God. You ought to set a time that it can't be interrupted. Because the devil will try to interrupt your study time, your prayer time, your time to get alone with God and His Word. Amen. And you ought to spend that time with God. I was telling them, I said, you know, people set times, and of course the devil always gives us something else to do. I was telling them this morning, I said, you know, if you set your time at 9 o'clock each night, that's your study time. You're going to study and pray from 9 to 10 or whatever you do, 9 to 9:30, whatever. You ought to set that aside. But, you know, sometimes the devil says, hey, listen, West Virginia's playing at 9 o'clock, you know. But, yeah. You know, if you studied 9 to 10, you're going to miss half that ball game. Maybe you ought to just skip tonight. Study 2 hours tomorrow night. Hello? The devil knows how to take your attention away from what you do. David was on the rooftop, and the devil took his attention. Now, he had no business doing what he done. Amen? And it got him in a lot of trouble. Caused him a lifetime of grief. But he was a great man of God. Amen? I'm so glad God uses sinners today. If He didn't, we'd be in trouble. That's why it becomes so important that we get time in God's Word to be able to fight these fiery darts of the devil and study these great people of faith. And we didn't even get to verse 33. We only got two verses, but we didn't get finished with this one. We ain't talked about Samuel yet. You see these great people of faith. Who were just like us, who had problems, who had temptations, who made stupid mistakes. But yet you find them written in the greatest chapter of faith there is in the Bible. The faith chapter. You know, and he goes, you know, and he, there's so many he doesn't mention. We got this morning. He'll mention them by events. He'll talk about events, and you'll see some of these events. You'll see Elijah fitting into some of these events here. He doesn't ever mention Elijah by name, but when women received their dead raised to life again, well, that's Elijah. You see. And we're going to talk some about that. How Elijah fits into that equation. Think of the faith that man had. He stood up on Mount Carmel by himself against 450 prophets of Baal. We'll talk some about that when we get to him. You'll see. You know how he stood there? He had faith in God. He looked old Ahab and his sidekick Jezebel. But you also find him running in fear, don't you? James said Elijah was a man with like passions as us. And so when you read these chapters, when you read this great chapter of the Bible, you have to remember these are real people. Just like us, who had faith in God. They went through some tough times. They went through some hard times. They no doubt went through times they didn't understand. No doubt they would ask God, why? What is going on? I mean, even today, sometimes I'll just say, Lord, I don't have no idea what's going on. You know, that's right. But I know you do, so we just trust the Lord. Our time is up. We could go on and talk some more. We'll pick up with Samuel next week and try to get this chapter finished next week and move on to chapter 12. When we finish the book of Hebrews, which will be a little time yet, we still got a couple more chapters, we are going to the book of Ezekiel. So you can begin studying the book of Ezekiel, begin reading it. We'll go down by the down by the Euphrates River. Remember, he was taken captive down there at Shebar. That's down there, that canal down there by the Euphrates River. And another great book of the Bible. All right, let's stand to be dismissed.